Preacher, listen to me. You cannot be concerned with what your members, your givers, or anybody else thinks. If you want kingdom, you got to get tired of where you are. You got to be frustrated with where you are. And you got to call on the name that is above every name, and you got to go for it.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm so excited to be coming to Abba's house for All American Day on Sunday morning, July 7th. We'll have some great inspirational patriotic music from the choir, orchestra, and ensembles as we celebrate the freedom we enjoy as Americans. And I have a very timely message to bring to you that day called America's Coming Implosion. Through my years and experience as a pastor, my role as a Fox News contributor, and a member of the White House Faith Initiative, God has given me a unique perspective on our nation. I promise that you don't want to miss this important message. I can't wait to see you at Abba's house on Sunday, July 7th for All American Day.
Greetings, everybody. It's Pastor Ronnie Phillips, lead pastor here at Abba's House and founder of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. I'm excited to be bringing you our Fully Alive Conference. We do this every year, the first week in March, and it was a powerful conference we had, and I preached a message titled All In. Are you all in? What does it mean to be all in? Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let them deny themselves, pick up their cross daily, and follow after me. I'm going to tell you what it means to be all in. You can't chase after worldly lust. You've got to put God first and realize that He is preeminent above all. And if you'll put God first and you'll follow Him, He will change your life. I hope you enjoy this broadcast today.
What does it mean to be all in? I love sports. I love football. It's my favorite sport. All my boys play sports, and I coached them all. And the one thing I tried to instill in all my boys was heart and commitment. You may never be the biggest. You may never be the fastest. But bless God, you can be the meanest and you can work the hardest. We need commitment in the church. We need to be all in. Jesus, in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. When he had called the people to himself. Now he had just healed the blind man. He had just fed the 4,000. He was teaching them about what was to come, his death, burial, and resurrection. They had seen the power of God. And so he called the people unto himself and his disciples also. It's important because this message was not just for the disciples. It was not just for the apostles. It was for all of us. And he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Later in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, he would say, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There is no Christianity without commitment. In ministry today, we say preach grace, but don't preach righteousness. Preach heaven, but don't preach hell. Preach love, but not sanctification. Preach the abundant life, but not the sacrificial life. Preach, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but don't preach the thorn in Paul's flesh. Don't preach the fact that he lived with this thorn his entire life, but God's grace was sufficient for him. We don't want the truth. We just want to feel good. We don't want to hear that sometimes God allows things to happen so that his works may be made manifest inside of you. The Christian life is a call to die. And that's hard. It's a call to die. It's a blessed life. But it's a call to die. Every day I live this life, a part of Ronnie dies. My flesh has to die. Paul said, I die daily. You're either all in or you're all out. Psalms 37:5 says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust him and he will act on your behalf. We've got to commit our lives to Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said about being all in. He said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. So to be all in means you better be ready to be persecuted. You better be ready to be mocked. You better be ready to be falsely accused. You better be ready to be spit on, criticized, abandoned. If you desire to come after me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Paul said, all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. Y'all want to sign up yet? Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Greater works, Jesus said, we will do. Do we live that? Do we see that? How many people have you led to Jesus lately? How many people have you laid your hands on this week and have seen them healed? How many people have you discipled, have you had in your home? I tell you, when I started studying this, it convicted me. How many hungry people have we fed? How many naked people have we clothed? Because Jesus said, whatever you did unto the least of these, you did also to me. When he speaks of the great white throne judgment, it wasn't about how good we were, how good we could preach, or even how good we could sing. It was about what we did unto the least of these. What does it mean to be all in? Number one, to be all in, you must first be frustrated with where you are. To be all in, you must first be frustrated where you are. As long as you're satisfied where you are, you're going to be fine staying there. I've been trying for 2 years to build a culture of grace here and discipleship and outreach. But as long as you're comfortable, you're never going to embrace the vision that God has given this house. You've got to be all in. Commitment begins with a desire. When he called the people unto himself, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me. Desire means to yearn, to long after, to seek. Desire, require. It's the early stage of commitment. It's a deliberate choice. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek is the Greek word zeteo. He wasn't saying meditate on the things of God, get in a trance. He was saying pursue it, go after it, strive until you attain it. You will never have the kingdom, see the kingdom, or walk in the kingdom until you get tired of where you are. If you're going to be all in, it starts with being able to say, I'm tired of doing the same old stuff. Preacher, listen to me. You cannot be concerned with what your members, your givers, or anybody else thinks. If you want kingdom, you got to get tired of where you are. You got to be frustrated with where you are. And you got to call on the name that is above every name, and you got to go for it. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You've got to move forward with God. Joseph got tired of Potiphar's house long before he became ruler again. You got to get tired of where you are. How about the prodigal son in the pig pen, a Jewish man in the story, the parable that Jesus told, says he came to himself. He got tired of the smell of the pig pen. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of doing the same old? How about Joshua? He grew tired of the wilderness long before he ever entered the promised land. To be all in, you must first be frustrated with where you are. Don't feel guilty for being frustrated. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, first you got to be frustrated with where you are. Next, to be all in means you must be willing to go without. Ask any athlete. Commitment manifests itself in denial. Greek word is aparneomi. And it means to disown, disregard, forsake, renounce, reject, refuse, to do without. Successful people are willing to do what others want. Any athlete, any person that's achieved anything, it doesn't happen overnight. Successful people are willing to do what others want. To deny yourself means to set aside your own dreams, lusts, ambitions, emotions, and ideas, your own personal ideas, for the greater good. This means to say yes to Christ and no to self. This means to win the flesh battle that Paul talks about in Galatians. Be led by the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To deny yourself means to deny what feels good to you. I told Jason, he said, look like you've lost some weight. I said, yeah, I'm on keto. He said, how's that going? I said, it's the most miserable thing I've ever done in my life. I said, I've done a lot of stuff over the years, Jason. Put a lot of stuff in my body, but I don't think there's anything worse than a sugar addiction. I'm talking day four, I thought I was dying. Shaking, headaches. Kelly said, eat a piece of bread, you're driving us crazy. Y'all pray for it. Means your ambitions must die. To be all in is to deny yourself. How do you do that? You choose courage over comfort. You choose righteousness over your own recognition. You choose His path over your property and your comfort zone. You choose forgiveness over your flesh. To deny yourself means to deny your ambitions, your dreams, your preferences. This latter represents ambition. All of us, when we start out in life, we have dreams. We want to climb the ladder. We want to attain. We want to achieve. We want to become. Many of us have an inferiority that the enemy uses that makes us think that somehow if we get high enough on this ladder and we get up enough rungs, that they'll love me. If we go higher with people, if we're more well-known, if we publish enough books, if we write enough songs, somehow they'll love me. But the truth is, you've got to know who you are in Christ. You have to know that you are a new creation, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things come new. I give honor to my dad tonight because in 1989, a successful Baptist preacher, Tennessee Baptist president, had everything. Chairman of the Home Mission Board, would have been president, no question about it. People still talk about the messages he preached in the 80s to the convention. But he got to a point in his life where the ladder no longer mattered. He decided, I want all of Jesus. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the gifts. I want everything. I don't care if I lose friends. I don't care if I lose influence. I don't care if they make fun of me. I don't care if they mock me. I want all of Jesus. The ladder is irrelevant. The ladder no longer matters. And at some point in your life, this can't be about you. It can't be about me. I love you with all my heart, but you need to understand I'm more comfortable on the backside of nowhere with my family than I am on this stage. I'm here because God called me. And when He's done with me, I won't have a bit of problem walking away and going into exile. But as long as I have breath, I'm moving forward. But it starts with a denial of self. To deny your own lust, your ambitions. To be all in, number three, means it's no longer about you. It's no longer about how you feel, what you think, your opinions, my opinions. Commitment is a death to self. It says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, his ambitions, his lust, his worldly thoughts, and let him pick up his cross and follow me. What does that mean? The cross is an instrument of death. You have to understand, when he spoke this to the disciples, By the way, 10 of them would be martyred for their faith. One would kill himself. The other would be exiled to an island. But many of them would die in the same manner that Jesus was going to die. And when he said this to them, he wanted them to understand what it means to be all in. It doesn't mean everything's going to go the way you think it should go. When they spoke of the cross, it's not like the cross now where people wear it around their neck or they have it on their arms and everybody's got a cross. Catholics wear the cross. Evangelicals wear the cross. Charismatics wear the cross. Everybody's wearing the cross. Everybody's tattooing the cross. But back then, it was an instrument of death. It was for the worst of criminals. It was for what we would probably consider to be terrorists, child molesters, the worst kinds of thieves. So when he said, take up your cross, this was an instrument of death. It was not a pleasant thing. Basically, Jesus was saying, if you're going to follow me, you got to be all in. All in. You got to deny yourself. You got to pick up the cross. And you got to follow me. What does the cross represent? The first thing that it represents is opposition. If you're going to be all in, you need to understand you're going to face opposition. I have more enemies now following Jesus than I ever did when I was lost. I've got more people talking about me now than did when I was drinking and partying all the time. I got more people looking for fault now than they were when I was lost. When you pick up the cross, you're going to face opposition. If you want everybody to like you, don't do this. If you want to be everybody's best friend, don't do this. If you want to go into ministry, God's called you. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get tough skin and be ready to face opposition. The next thing the cross represents is shame. We all battle shame. Shame is inferiority. It's when we look at ourselves in the mirror. No matter how old we are, we don't like what we see. Sometimes people speak death into us when we're a child, or they speak curses over our lives, or they say things to us that we can never shake, and we're insecure. We're ashamed of ourselves. But the good news about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it says that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and now sits at the right hand of God. So if you embrace Christ fully, then shame has to leave. You've picked up your cross and you're following him. So you've moved from denying yourself to dying to yourself. This take up the cross command is not about just dealing with sickness and death and normal heartaches that we all face in this life, emotional problems. It's to say, I'll die for this. How many of us in today's culture would really die for what we believe? Like in 1999 when Dylan Klebold pointed a rifle at Cassie Bernhall in Columbine High School and said, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, I do. And he killed her. How many of us in the face, because we might be headed that way in the United States of America, when there's no lights, when there's no offerings, when there's no flashy ministry, how many of us would stand in the face of the enemy and say, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. It's a death to your flesh and to the world. Dead people don't get offended. Dead people have no feelings. If you're going to follow after Jesus Christ, you got to get out of your feelings. You got to be all in for the gospel. It's a public testimony. That's what it meant. Jesus carried the cross 7 miles upwards, was spit on, was mocked. These criminals were stripped naked that were put on this cross. They were shamed. They were opposed. Everything. Opposition and suffering. Crucifixion was prolonged, excruciating pain. You know, they put the nails in the wrist and in the ankles, and when they would die, they wouldn't die from the loss of blood. They would die from suffocation because they would have to pull themselves up on the nails. just to breathe. And eventually they would give their last breath just like Jesus when he said, "Tetelestai, it's finished." This is a Christianity that you put on. Some people say, "Oh, you're just putting on." Let me tell you, it's a Christianity that you put on. When you pick up this cross, you're putting on something that's bigger than you, that's heavier than you, that will cost you everything. Paul would say, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." I'm talking about a put-on Christianity. We need to carry our cross. Paul would say, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So are you frustrated? Are you willing to go without? Are you willing to deny yourself? To be all in is to be focused on the things above. Paul would say, "Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." The world says this is all we have to look forward to. A 6-foot hole in the ground. Solomon would say, "Remember now your Creator in the days of thy youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you'll say, 'I found no pleasure in them.'" You see, a carnal-minded person, they're wanting to get everything they can get for their flesh till they go here. 6 feet under. Ah, but somebody that's been frustrated with where they are, they've denied their self, they've picked up their cross to follow him, their focus is not on this any longer. No guilt in life. No fear in death. That's the power of Christ in me. Your focus has changed. Somebody say amen. Your mind is not on earthly things. It's on heavenly things. And now your life is hidden. They don't remember even your name. Just what God had called you to. What you were willing to die for. It's a commitment unto death. But it's also a commitment to life. That's what the Bible says. It says, if you try to save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for the gospel's sake and for my sake, you find life. And what do you find? You find a kingdom. A domain over which a king rules. That's what Jesus preached, a kingdom. It's a commitment to the kingdom where your focus is no longer on you and your needs and your flesh. It's on something higher. You've made a decision to go higher. Anyone who loses their life, gives their life, sows their life, inherits the kingdom of God. Oh, but what about the King of Kings? Jesus, the crowned king, said, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." He said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." That means every doubt, every fleshly desire, every piece of ambition left in you, it is finished because of the blood of Jesus. Because he died, we can live. And now we have more to look forward to than a 6-foot hole in the ground. We've got purpose, but we have to be all in. Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. By the grace of God, he tasted death for everyone." The Apostle Paul would tell his mentee Timothy, he would say, before he would be beheaded, he would say, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept my faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." We don't do this for a crown. But the Bible says that for those who are faithful, those who have loved his appearing, we receive a crown at the great white throne judgment. Amen. Our focus is Jesus, the crowned King of glory. But the Bible says that there's a crown of righteousness. Those who loved his appearing, those who look forward to his return, those who talk about the return of Jesus Christ, there's a crown. Oh, but there's a crown of rejoicing. Oh, this is the worship crown. There's a crown of rejoicing. Jason, I bet you'll have one. A crown of rejoicing. There's a crown of glory. This is the pastor's crown. For those who were faithful, who didn't do it for the money, who didn't jump from church to church climbing the ladder, those who remained faithful over a few things. There's a crown of glory. Ah, but there's a crown of life for the Stephens and the Apostle Pauls and the Cassie Bernhals and the Polycarps. There's a crown of life for those martyred. Those who gave their all. There's a crown of life. Ah, but there's a crown incorruptible. These are those who overcame. Who didn't let the race beat them. They finished. They finished the race. They ran it with endurance. They might have struggled. They might have fell and battled. But they kept the faith and they finished. I'm telling you, this Christian life we offer today is weak and wimpy. And we got people going to hell by the dozens because we aren't honest with them about the truth about this life. It's time we give people the gospel, the unfiltered gospel. Preacher, preach the gospel. Preach the Bible.
Hallelujah. There are crowns waiting on you in heaven. I am so thankful that I put aside my ladder and picked up my crown. I'm telling you, God's got rewards for his children. That makes me excited. Listen, I want to talk to you about our Fully Alive Conference. Each year, people come from around the world and all over the city of Chattanooga to be touched by our speakers and our worship and our great team here at Abbas House. You need to get these messages. You need to order them right now. Jensen Franklin, one of my heroes, Bishop Dale Bronner, probably the greatest orator on the face of the earth. If you haven't heard of him, you need to follow him. Bishop Bronner brought a word here that changed everything. And my father, Dr. Ron Phillips, perhaps the greatest theological expository preacher on the planet, preached a message on the quantum life. You need these messages. They will bless you. And I hope you'll order them today. I hope you'll partner with us and help us take this grace message to the ends of the earth.
Deep within the heart of all of us is the longing to be fully alive. Through the struggles of life, heartache, and loss, it's easy to find ourselves empty, hopeless, and yearning for more meaning to our existence. Can you hear your heart crying out? Can you hear it calling you to be fully alive?
Get your comfort set of messages from Fully Alive online at ronniephillips.org. Order on CD or DVD, download MP3 audio, or stream them online. It's time to live fully alive.
Come experience a service at Abba's House in person any Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Ronnie and our staff would love to meet you and help you live free and fully alive.